Today is the third day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is fantastic, lovely, a beautiful opportunity for us to gather around the global campfire yet again in a safe place, a place of restoration and healing, a place of safety and repair. I am grateful. Deeply grateful to be here with you today as we continue our journey through this week and into this brand new month. A month where a lot of this month, we will be traveling together. Going back, actually, to the land of the Bible. And that'll be coming up starting next week. And so I'm looking forward to that, talking more about that. But we're here right now, today, around this global campfire, taking the next step forward. We have turned our way now into the wilderness and the wilderness journey, the formative spaces where the identity of the children of Israel has to be shifted from slave to set apart as holy, chosen. And that is not going to be easy for them. And we will watch them. And if we will watch them, they will mirror us. We are them. This is a very, very important part of the Bible. And so may we embrace it fully. Today, Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 19, verse 15. Amalek came and attacked Israel in Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua fought against Amalek just as Moses had instructed him, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses would raise his hands, then Israel prevailed, but whenever he would rest his hands, then Amalek prevailed. When the hands of Moses became heavy, they took a stone and put it under him, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other. And so his hands were steady until the sun went down. So Joshua destroyed Amalek and his army with the sword. The Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in Joshua's hearing, for I will surely wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and he called it, "The Lord is my banner," for he said, "For a hand was lifted up to the throne of the Lord, that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard about all that God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Moses' wife Zipporah, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, one of whom was named Gershom, for Moses had said, "I have been a foreigner in a foreign land," and the other Eleazar, for Moses had said, "The God of my father has been my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and his wife, came to Moses in the wilderness where he was camping by the mountain of God. He said to Moses, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you, along with your wife and her two sons with her." Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They each asked about the other's welfare, and then they went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to Egypt for Israel's sake, and all the hardship that had come on them along the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Jethro rejoiced because of all the good that the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered from the hand of Egypt. Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you from the hand of Egypt and from the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from the Egyptians' control. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For in the thing in which they dealt proudly against them, he has destroyed them." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron and all the elders of Israel came to eat food with the father-in-law of Moses before God. On the next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why are you sitting by yourself and all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me and I decide between a man and his neighbor, and I make known the decrees of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out, both you and these people who are with you, for this is too heavy a burden for you. You are not able to do it by yourself. Now listen to me. I will give you advice, and may God be with you. You be a representative for the people to God, and you bring their disputes to God. Warn them of the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. But you choose from the people capable men, God-fearing men, men of truth, those who hate bribes, and put them over the people as rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. They will judge the people under normal circumstances, and every difficult case they will bring to you, but every small case they themselves will judge, so that you may make it easier for yourself, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will be able to go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law, and they did everything he had said. Moses chose capable men from all Israel, and he made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. They judged the people under normal circumstances. The difficult cases they would bring to Moses, but every small case they would judge themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and so Jethro went to his own land. In the third month, after the Israelites went out from the land of Egypt, on the very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they journeyed from Rephidim, they came to the desert of Sinai, and they camped in the desert. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, "Thus you will tell the house of Jacob and declare to the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I lifted you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And now, if you will diligently listen to me and keep my covenant, then you will be my special possession out of all the nations, for all the earth is mine, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you will speak to the Israelites." So Moses came and summoned the elders of Israel. He set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together, "All that the Lord has commanded, we will do." So Moses brought the words of the people back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you, and so that they will always believe in you. And Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and make them wash their clothes, and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You must set boundaries for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves not to go up on the mountain nor touch its edge. Whoever touches the mountain will surely be put to death. No hand will touch him, but he will surely be stoned or shot through. Whether a beast or a human being, he must not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they may go up on the mountain. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. He said to the people, Be ready for the third day. Do not approach your wives for marital relations. Matthew 22:34-23:12. Now when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they assembled together. And one of them, an expert in religious law, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to him, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. While the Pharisees were assembled, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said, The son of David. He said to them, How then does David by the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to answer him a word, and from that day on, no one dared to question him any longer. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, The experts in the law and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, pay attention to what they tell you and do it. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads, hard to carry, and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing even to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by people, for they make their phylacteries wide and their tassels long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues and elaborate greetings in the marketplaces and to have people call them Rabbi. But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Psalm 27:7-14. Hear me, O Lord, when I cry out. have mercy on me and answer me. My heart tells me to pray to you, and I do pray to you, O Lord. Do not reject me. Do not push your servant away in anger. You are my deliverer. Do not forsake or abandon me, O God who vindicates me. Even if my father and mother abandoned me, the Lord would take me in. Teach me how you want me to live, Lord. Lead me along a level path because of those who wait to ambush me. Do not turn me over to my enemies, for false witnesses who want to destroy me testify against me. Where would I be if I did not believe I would experience the Lord's favor in the land of the living? Rely on the Lord. Be strong and confident. Rely on the Lord. Proverbs 6:27-35. Can a man hold fire against his chest without burning his clothes? Can a man walk on hot coals without scorching his feet? So it is with one who sleeps with his neighbor's wife. No one who touches her will escape punishment. People do not despise a thief when he steals to fulfill his need when he is hungry. Yet if he is caught, he must repay 7 times over. He might even have to give all the wealth of his house. A man who commits adultery with a woman lacks sense. Whoever does it destroys his own life. He will be beaten and despised, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy kindles a husband's rage, and he will not show mercy when he takes revenge. He will not consider any compensation. He will not be willing, even if you multiply the compensation. Okay, so as we're in the wilderness with the children of Israel, we read of their first, actual confrontation today with other people. First, military confrontation. And you can imagine, we're told basically that there's 1 million people out in the wilderness. I've been out in these actual wildernesses where they wandered. It's vast, it's broad, it's empty, but hiding 1 million people would have been impossible. And so, people can spy, people from surrounding territories can know what's going on here, and the Amalekites were watching, and they're close enough to spook them. And so they attack the Hebrews, and Moses was about to learn a valuable lesson in his own leadership. Whenever Moses held up his arms outstretched before the battle with the staff of God in his hand, then the children of Israel prevailed in defeating the Amalekites. But whenever he had to put them down to rest, and try it. Just try holding your arms up out at your sides and see how many minutes you can actually do that. It's surprising how heavy your arms get, how quickly. So whenever he had to put him down, the battle turned against the children of Israel. So Moses needed to keep his arms up, but he couldn't hold them up. So Moses' brother Aaron, a man named Hur, they found a rock for Moses to sit on, and then they held his arms up for him. And then the Amalekites ended up being defeated. So then Moses' father-in-law Jethro comes for a visit, brings his wife back, their sons back, and hears all about what God has done, and the family is back together, and then Jethro is staying and observing what Moses' day-to-day work is, and he's learning the same lesson here about leadership. Moses is basically trying to deal with any and every conflict among the people From morning until night, they're coming to him asking for judgment. And Jethro looks at Moses and is like, man, this is not a good plan. Like, you are going to burn out so fast. Nobody can carry this kind of load and sustain it. Like, this is taking all of your energy and all of your time. It's too heavy a burden for one person. And so he gives Moses another valuable piece of advice and leadership, the same kind of realization that he had in the battle. You have to share this load with honest, upright, godly people. You have to share this load. So Moses learns this lesson in his own leadership, takes his father-in-law's advice, appoints capable people to hear the disputes, and so that only like the major, something that cannot be worked out among the people and among the judges, makes its way basically to Moses' desk for him to deal with. All of us have to kind of learn this. Biting off more than we can chew, right? If that's you, that you regularly overcommit because you are a people pleaser and you are making yourself crazy, trying to not let anybody down, and just thinking you can keep piling it on and serving and serving. And there's like a significant form of pride in that, an insecurity in that, and not being able to say no for the fear of what the perception may be, or our own self-reliance on how much we can actually negotiate and bear and still maintain some kind of healthy life and any kind of healthy boundaries. I guess realizing that this is a community out in the wilderness and they will have to act as a community is an important lesson. And for us, well, as we will learn from the Apostle Paul, he describes us, we who follow in the pathways of Jesus, and we are a body, the body of Christ, and every part has a role, and every part is irreversible. And if there is a shared burden, the burden is so much lighter when we hold up each other's arms. Well, then there is victory in that. And so in our own lives, in today's episode of the Wilderness Journey, maybe we think about why we are becoming completely burned out, completely exhausted, what the commitments are that we are making that are beyond our capacity, and why we can't say no, that is beyond my ability to take on. I have to actually have a boundary around my own heart, my own capabilities, my own family, so that I can maintain a sustainable life that is maturing and growing. Why do we bite off more than we can chew? And then end up dropping the ball in some way. And a lot of times, we're trying to keep up the image and not let the people that are least involved down, while truly letting the ones that are closest to us, that are depending on us, like our family, our spouse, we let them down to keep up the image that we can do it all. That is disaster waiting to happen. And so maybe a good question is why, like what's behind all that? What's underneath all that? Insecurity, pride, lots of things. Things that we were imprinted with. Ultra, and I mean, I was imprinted with this kind of ultra sense of like duty and responsibility in my life. Like, you carry your own load and you never, like, you always come through. That is not always possible. And so, every day in the wilderness with the children of Israel, there's something for us. And this is what's there for us today, is us to consider why we overcommit and overobligate in ways that are not sustainable and will bring collapse and destruction eventually. So Holy Spirit, again, you bring us the truth, you lead us into it, and we have to look at it and do something with it. Ignore it, suppress it, turn our backs on it, or embrace it and be willing to face what's underneath it all, the truth of ourselves, the truth about us, so that we can become true. We invite you into this. Lead us into the truth of this. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. And as I say every day, get connected. Be connected. Stay connected. This is a long journey towards something holy. It's a pilgrimage, a voyage through a year together. A lot happens in a year in life. Like, a lot happens in a year in life. A year in our lives can transform in profoundly challenging, unforeseen ways, so that at the end of the year, life will never look the same. It can be transformative in some unbelievably positive ways. Like, a year has a lot in it. So staying connected to this journey and to what the scriptures have to say as they speak for themselves gives us context and perspective that we actually need. And it really, really brings things home and allows us to see things through certain lenses that we need as we navigate the challenges. So it is great to be here around the global campfire. And I am deeply grateful. And so get connected and be connected. And while you're getting connected, check out the community section is where to get connected. The Daily Audio Bible Shop is a place where resources are available for the journey that we are on. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if just showing up here actually means something valuable to you, and thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. This is Daniel, the Wholehearted, calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I'm calling for Mark from Charlotte, North Carolina. Just heard your prayer request about your sons, your 17-year-old, your 10-year-old, and your 7-year-old. And I just want to pray alongside of you for the things that you asked for. Heavenly Father, you are a good Father. You love us. You give us good gifts. You guide us. Even when we're rebellious, Lord, you continue to love us. You continue to show us the way. God, I just want to join Mark. I want to ask that you would Well, I know that you hear the cries of his heart. I know that you hear the cries of his wife as they just lament over the way that their 17-year-old is walking away. And they can see the pain. They can see the way that he's walking, God. They know, but despite the warning signs, you know, he's going his way. God, I pray just that you would fill Mark with your power. Lord, that he would be a vessel that just carries the renewing spirit, the spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that spirit of power, that he would carry it throughout his home, throughout his life, and even into interactions with his 17-year-old, Lord, that he would bring new life through you into that young man. God, I pray for the 10-year-old and the 7-year-old. I pray that their hearts would be protected. Lord, that they would desire your things. They would desire the good things that their parents are describing. And Lord, that they would walk in a way that honors you, God. Pray for this whole family, Lord, for peace, for comfort, for this couple to fall into one another's arms, to love one another through the pain. God, we thank you for being a God who loves our children more, even more than we do. All of this, we pray in Jesus' name. Be blessed, Mark.
Hello, this is DR from Florida. I would like to pray for Ava Johnson, the teen that fell at the park and injured her back. Father God, holy is your name. Nothing is too hard for you. I ask for you to heal Ava. In the name of Jesus, I speak to her body, her nerves, her spine, her tendons, her ligaments, and muscles. And I say, wake up and move in the name of Jesus. I pray for her parents and siblings. I speak peace over them. In Jesus' name, amen. I also like to pray for Megan. Pray for healing from cancer. Surround her with your peace, peace for her soul, and I ask you, Father, to silence wicked words and attacks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower calling, and I want to let you know that everyone who has cancer, I'm lifting up in prayer, praying for the caregivers and for the mourners as well. And Angie from Texas, my son was going through the same similar thing when years Juan was going through his cancer, and you've always been in my thoughts and prayers, and I thank you for your gift of letting us know how you're doing and praying for your family. It's a privilege. Thank you so much. So Heavenly Father, we just come before your holy throne. We lift up the disease of cancer and all those who are suffering from it, all those who are caring for the victims of cancer, for the doctors and the caregivers in the clinics and hospitals. We pray a special anointing over each and every one to do the best they can to eradicate this disease, not only from each person, but from the world. We ask this all in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen.
Hi, family. This is Teresa from Indy. I guess I haven't called in a long time. I'm calling with regard to my youngest daughter, Ashley. They say she has endometrial cancer. So I'm calling you guys for prayers, requesting that my family pray for my daughter. Yeah. This is the last time I had a child with a major, something major. I didn't have the community. It's, I guess I've been here around 15 years, and my oldest had an issue. And on February 6th, we will be at the hospital for her surgery for the cancer, and it was just me back then. So I'm thinking of all the prayer warriors, and you guys are just coming to my mind. And this community has been such a blessing to me, just being around me, and just appreciate you so much, and love you guys. Thank you for all your prayers. been a blessing to be here with you, praying for you and with you. God bless every one of you. I love you. Thanks for praying for Ashley.
What's up, Dad fam? This is Cowboy. It's January 29th, and I just got finished listening to the day's reading. And afterwards, on the prayer side of things, man, I heard a lot of men call in today and ask for prayer. And that touched my heart. I love that, because that's putting your pride aside. And that's one thing that old devil likes to do. He likes to get in there and start picking on you about their pride, saying, oh, you know, you're not good enough, and you know, you ain't got this, you ain't no kind of man, you can't ask for this, you can't ask for that. And, you know, sometimes as men, it's super hard to ask for help. And it's because that pride gets in our way. But I just encourage more men out there, and I know there's a lot of men in prison that are listening to this. Hey, man, it is okay not to be okay. It is okay to ask for help. Like this is how we get better. Going to a man side of thing, if you're lifting weights and you need a spot, you can ask for help. You know, that helps you get to that next place. Same thing with our spiritual walk, man. It's okay to ask for a spot. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for extra prayer. That is only how we're going to grow and get stronger. And I stand in solidarity with everyone, with Dr. John, with all of our brothers and sisters across all the ponds, Miss Ava, praying that God's glory just works miracles, and that she gets all her mobility back, praying for that family, and just praying for him to be reunited with his children. So, hey, fellas, y'all keep coming back.
Yeah, God. Dear God, thank you for Brad from Illinois. I thank you for nudging in his heart to seek to grow the relationship he has with you, Lord. Thank you for his conviction, and we pray for your grace regarding this. He also has plans, Lord, to move closer to his children. And Father, you know more than anyone the love you have for your children and all that you do for us. And I thank you that this is reflecting on Brad. We pray, Father, that you make a way for him to make this move smoothly in the name of Jesus. Your word says a man makes plans, and it's you who directs the steps. And we ask that, Lord, you will direct his steps and grant him the wisdom and everything that he needs, Lord, to make his way smooth in this very important decisions to get closer to you and also his kids, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful thoughts that he's got, and we just know that you will make a way for him and establish him. We pray that, Lord, your mighty right hand will be with him, and that you remove all fears and anxieties that come with such big decisions, Lord. May your grace be abundant upon him. And we pray for your guidance in this new chapter he sets. In the name of Jesus, amen.